Well, this morning we're in a passage of scripture that is challenging to say the least. It's a passage of scripture that clearly lays out some very straightforward truths about what happens when you die. I don't know how many people have said to me, "Nobody knows. Nobody's come back and told us." I want you to know somebody knows, and he's come back and told us. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Besides that, he came from the Father in the first place. And if the last time we were together, we talked about how the Pharisees had looked at, if a person was wealthy, they had it made in the shade. They were good in this life, and they were good in the next. And if a person was poor, they were sunk. They had it bad in this life, and it would even be worse for them afterwards. And we can see that this story that Jesus shares here is actually based upon that perception that the Pharisees had. Now, it doesn't give all the details of how to be saved in this passage of Scripture. Jesus shared it in many other places. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. In the book of Acts, it says, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said those words, that there's a place to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. People aren't saved because they're poor. I want to qualify that when we start this passage. Nor are they lost because they're rich. We saw that a person can be rich as long as they manage their riches properly. But salvation is a matter of not the rich or the poor. The ground is level. And in this passage, Jesus wants them to understand that that just because you're rich, you're not getting into heaven. Just because you have wealth or things are going well for you here, that's no guarantee of what's going to happen on the other side. You could die on a bed of ease with the most expensive sheets and pillows around you. You could have all your family gathered around. You could have what some people call a blessed death. But if you're not saved, the moment that you leave this world, you are not better off. There is a great lie propagated. It seems anybody lives any old way when they're alive, and then when the funeral happens, they're all better off. There's a heaven and there's a hell. People will go to one place or the other. And what I want to do is start with us here. If there's anybody here that is not certain of heaven, you can be almost certain of hell if you don't accept Christ. How can I be certain of heaven? Well, I can't be certain if I'm trusting in my own works. I can't be certain if I'm trying my very best to get there. I can't be certain if I'm just a good old guy and I think I'm okay because I'm doing the best I can. You will never be certain of heaven because you're not good enough. The only certainty you can have is Jesus died for me. The only certainty you can have is that you have accepted Christ as your Savior and He has done everything that needs to be done to save your soul. Luke 16:19, there was a certain man, rich man, who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. He had it made in the shade. So this is a description of this man. He had everything that this world could offer. He fared sumptuously every day. He had a wonderful table before him. He was rich. He was clothed in purple. Now that might sound, what is that? Why do they say that? Well, if to have color in their clothes then, it had to be dyed. And in order to find purple dye, there was only one plant that produced the purple dye to make purple clothing. Anybody who bought purple had a lot of money. And anybody who sold purple made a lot of money because that was premium. It was premium cloth. Today, purple's everywhere. Yeah, even my Gaspereau in the river, when they come out, they're purple. They are. But what does it say? He was clothed in purple and fine linen, another expensive cloth. So he says he was well-dressed, and he had a spread of food before him. That was the description of this certain rich man. But then there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. So now we have the opposite, and let's find out what this guy was like. He was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Now, you notice what it says? Was he being fed with the crumbs from the rich man's table? He was desiring to be fed with the crumbs from the rich man's table. And besides that, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. What an awful situation this man was in. He had a name. His name is Lazarus. Okay? He had a name. You know, when Jesus told parables in other passages of Scripture, he never named people. And he never said it was a certain rich man or a certain beggar. These are real people. This was a real circumstance. And it's not just a story that Jesus makes up. Now here we have the two people. In the Pharisee's mind, it's a no-brainer here. When they die, the rich man goes and he keeps on enjoying all his riches. The poor man goes where he deserves, because obviously he's been a bad person, and that's why he's poor. And so he's off. He's done for. He's going in the wrong place. That was what was in their mind. So Jesus says, and so it was that the beggar died. Now I want you to think about something here. And so it will be that you will die. You will die. You're certain of this. Unless Jesus returns, you will die. Have you grasped that? Have you laid hold of that reality? Or do you live as if you're going to live forever? Do you really think so? And so it was, the beggar died. And so it was, you will die. And then we see in the next passage here, and the rich man also died. Oh, here, yes, in the same verse. The rich man also died and was buried. So we have two people who died. We all do. You know, sometimes they talk about the great tragedies, like the sinking of the Titanic, and I don't remember how many people died there, but was it a couple of thousand or 1,800 people died in the Titanic, a great tragedy. Listen, every generation that has lived since the Titanic has what?
Died.
Died. People die, right? Everybody dies. Get that in our heads. Understand the reality of it. And if we do, then we must consider eternity. If there's an eternity, we need to consider it. It needs to become premium importance for us and premium importance for others. The world doesn't live this way. The world says, do what you please. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. It doesn't matter what you do. Continue on your way. Do what you want. But I want you to know this. You're going to die. And you will face the judgment of God. Hebrews chapter 9 says it is appointed unto men once to die. That includes women too, just to let you know. Once to die, and after death, the judgment. You will face Almighty God. How will you fare? How will you fare when you stand before the King of the universe and you might say, well, you know, I've been a pretty good fellow. You'll find out that you're not. But better to find that out now, because here's what the Bible says about you and every living person on earth. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says that the wages of sin is death. It says that we will be judged and we won't make it. We won't make it on our merits. We are not saved by our works. We must be saved by the grace of God. Are you saved? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? These men died. Just like everybody else does. But what does it say about the beggar? He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now why did he call it Abraham's bosom? Because Father Abraham was representative of the salvation that had come to Israel. Because he was the one who had started the line that Jesus Christ was going to come into the world. Because he was the one who they looked up to. And so he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or paradise, or a place of comfort. We're going to find that out. And that's where he was carried to. But he was carried by the angels there. That's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That gives us a little indication that those who die in the Lord, they're carried by the angels into the presence of God, into a place of comfort and peace. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a hope to have in God. That's a wonderful, blessed hope. You see, this passage has two besides to it. One is the incredible comfort and hope and reality that we can have in the Lord. When we die in the Lord, we're okay. But also on the other side of the coin, there is this horrible reality that people will be lost forever and experience a tremendous suffering. They both died. The rich man also died and was buried. What happened to him? And being in torments in Hades. Hades is a term for the place of the dead. What does he do? Here he is. Suddenly, he wakes up in what we call hell. It's not the final hell. It is the holding place of hell until the final day, when those who have not trusted in Christ are taken out of this place of torment and put in another called the lake of fire. Look what it says here. There he is. And he says he lifted his eyes and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. Somehow there was a window opened that he could see. And he could see the comfort of Abraham. He could see the comfort of Lazarus. So he cries and he says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Friends, these are the words of Jesus. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that this rich man thought that he was still in control. He thought that Lazarus should be serving him. Isn't that what he thought? Yeah. See, his head was still back to what he thought, where he thought he should be. He thought that Lazarus needed to come into that place of torment, at least to come and give him some comfort. How much comfort did he give to Lazarus before they passed away? None whatsoever. No, he had no design to give comfort. He was out for his own stuff. You can read an awful lot into the character of this rich man just by the fact that this Lazarus was laid at his gate and there was no mercy shown to him. He desired to be fed with the crumbs from the rich man's table, but he wasn't getting it. It was only a desire. It shows you that this man was a lost man, a selfish man, a man who was far away from God in his heart. And here's where he lands, in this place. And I want you to notice that there he cries for mercy. And I want you to know something, friends. There is no mercy in hell. Have you got that? There is no mercy in hell. There is no getting out. There is no, oh, you'll get a second chance later on. There is no, well, maybe, you know, somebody will take pity on me. There is no mercy. There is no pity. There is no forgiveness. There is no getting out. I'm not lying. It's the words of Jesus Christ. If you want to stand against the words of Jesus Christ and say, no, I believe something different, you go ahead. But here's where you'll end up: crying for mercy and finding none. What can I say? It's here. I don't speak it in joy, but it's here. Do you understand why it's so important to share the gospel? Do you understand that it doesn't matter if people are upset at us if we share the truth? That this is more important because this is the destination of people who do not get saved. This is where you will end up if you're not a Christian. This is where people will end up if they are not saved. And that is why, while there is breath, there is hope, that we plead with people. We cry out to people. We urge people. We compel people to come in to Jesus Christ, because it doesn't have to happen that way. But this is where he ended up. I want you to notice something, that in this passage of scripture, he wanted even just the man to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. That's how terrible a torment this man was in. I am tormented in this flame. Do I like this? No. But am I going to say, oh, well, I'll tear that page out of the Bible because I don't like it? No, I cannot do that. Do you understand how serious sin is then? I don't think we do. You understand that one sin is enough to put you in hell? One sin is enough for you to be tormented for eternity. One sin. But I want you to know today that one Savior is enough to rescue you. One Savior is enough to rescue every person on earth. No wonder God had to send his Son. No wonder it was so important that he gave his only begotten son. No wonder the cross is so vital. Mighty is the power of the cross. No wonder people need to be saved. And no wonder that God would allow his son to experience the fullness of hell on the cross, so you would not have to experience it in eternity. Jesus died for our sins. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you today that we have good news. The bad news is already in effect. People are hell-bound without Christ. The broad way is real. Jesus said, the broad way to destruction. Many are going down the broad way. Few are finding the gate to life. Oh, be one of the few. I am tormented in this flame, was his cry. Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you had your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. Now he is comforted, and you are tormented. So he says, listen, you thought you had it made. You thought you could do whatever you wanted. You thought you had these riches and wealth, and it was all going to be okay forever. Are you trusting in uncertain riches? Are you trusting in the amount of money you have in your bank? What if it was all taken away tomorrow? What good is it? What coinage could this man say? Could this man say to Abraham, I've got lots of money. Will you take some money? Can I pay my way out of here? No, there's no get out of jail free card here. This is it. This is permanent. And he says, this is where you are. And now look at Lazarus. Look at all that he had gone through. But now he is comforted. Now he wasn't, remember, this parable or story doesn't teach that Lazarus was because he was poor, he got to heaven. If that was the case, then I urge you all to get poor real quick. Make sure you got nothing in your pocket. Burn your car. Trash your house. Get poor quick, if that was the way to heaven. But it isn't. The way to heaven is to come to Jesus Christ. Lazarus obviously did. The rich man did not.
Lazarus, he just believed in God. Christ hadn't died on the cross at this time.
Yes, he would have put his faith in God.
And the rich man didn't have anything.
That's right. Yeah. And in a sense, it ends up that you're trusting Christ. Even the Old Testament saints were trusting in the salvation that God was offering through Jesus. Now he is comforted and you are tormented. What do you want to be? Comforted for eternity or tormented for eternity? Yes.
Lazarus, didn't Jesus raise him?
Not the same Lazarus. No. No, there wouldn't be any reference for it to being the same Lazarus, because that Lazarus was not a beggar.
No, but the first one would have died again.
Yes, that's right. And besides all this, now notice this, between us and you, there is what? A great gulf fixed. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. I can't imagine anybody wanting to do that. Right? And nor can those from there pass to us. There's no door. There's no gateway. No bridge. There's no going from heaven to hell. Thank God for that. Amen? Once you're in heaven, you're there for good. You can't, not going to get booted out. You're not going to be sent to hell. There's a great gulf fixed. Nobody can go from one place to the other. That's good news. That's wonderful news. But, yes?
Okay, but from heaven, we wouldn't be able to see the ones that are in hell. Otherwise, we'd be in tormented by some.
It's a picture God showed.
We would trust the Lord with that one. Okay? The Bible says the former things won't be brought to mind. Right?
Okay.
So, and the Bible also says that we have nothing more to do with what goes on under the sun. Okay. In terms of what goes on on the earth. But in this situation, there was a window open so that there was some dialogue that was happening back and forth. It doesn't say that Lazarus was aware. It doesn't say anything about Lazarus' cognizance as to that he could see the rich man over there. What I can say is this, is that we will know, and we will understand, and it won't affect us. However it will happen, we won't be affected by it. But we won't be able to pass from one place to the other. That's what the Word of God teaches. So now this man takes a different tack. He's stuck where he's at. He suddenly realizes, I'm here, and I'm here for good. So what does he say? He said, I beg you, therefore, Father, you would send him to my father's house. He still wants to order Lazarus around, right? Send him to my father's house then. He says, I can't go back. I'm stuck here. I can't get out. But he says, I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He says, send Lazarus there. I don't want them to come here. Oh, you hear people say, well, I don't mind going to hell. All my friends are going to be there. Listen, nobody from hell wants you there. Nobody wants you there. He says, I got five brothers. I don't want them to come here. Send Lazarus back from the dead and to warn them. They need to be warned, is what he's saying, right? Here we have, listen, friends, we have a cry from hell this morning. A cry from hell to you, saying, don't come to this place of torment. Be warned, there is such a place. Be warned, do everything you can not to be here. Don't come here. Wow. Is that clear? Couldn't be much clearer than that, friends. God has not left us without a witness as to what happens on the other side. God has not been ambiguous about it. He's being very plain. It's not foggy. It's not, well, maybe there's a hell. Maybe there isn't. It's not like that, friends. It's real. It's hard, cold facts that God gives to us so that you don't have to go there. It's the truth. It doesn't change the truth for a second, does it not? No. I got five brothers. He may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. So Abraham says to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They had the word of God. Let them hear what the word of God has to say. Oh, no. He said, no, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. If somebody would rise from the dead, then they would repent. Then they would believe. Then they would know, okay, I don't want to go there. Okay, I know where I need to go. I know what I need to do. That's what he says. That was his argument, right? What did Abraham said? He said to them, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even though one rises from the dead. Who rose from the dead after this? Jesus himself. And neither will they be persuaded. It doesn't matter. Even if a great miracle is done right in front of them. Didn't Jesus do great miracles in front of them? Didn't he raise the dead in front of them? And what did they do? They tried to kill the guy that rose from the dead. Right? They refused to believe. They refused to accept the love of the truth. Pardon me? That's right. He's still doing miracles. Absolutely. They will not hear Moses and the prophets. If they will not hear the word of God, they will not be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Friends, this is a solemn word and a solemn warning. It's a great encouragement to know that there is a place of comfort. Now, some theologians will say, well, this place, paradise, was emptied out when Jesus rose from the dead. Then they went up into heaven. There's speculation on that. But I know this. This is what Jesus said. A great gulf fixed, place of torment, and a place of comfort. That's not complicated. There it is. The question is where am I going, and how do I get there? Well, Jesus Christ has said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by him. So the way is clear. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners. It's wonderful. He came to rescue sinners. You qualify. Everybody qualifies. We're all sinners. Now, have you been rescued or have you not? Are you saved or are you not? If you're saved, all is well. If you're not, you're going to lose your soul. Which are you? Which are you today? Thank God that there is a free gift of salvation offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. The testimony is given. Christ is risen from the dead. We have a home in heaven waiting for us. If we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful. I can take you to Marie's room today and you'll find a woman who is not afraid. Amen. Not afraid. Amen. Testifying of the glory of God. Testifying of the presence of God and the peace of God. If it was you in that bed, Would you be afraid? You know, you say, well, gee, I don't know. Be honest. Kind of hard to think that one through. Yes, we can be afraid. And there are times when she's afraid of the pain or the circumstances like that. But as far as heaven, no. And I'll tell you what. The Lord will meet you at the hour of your death, if you're his, and he will comfort you. It's a strength from the Lord. I'm not here to praise up Marie. I'm praising up the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God working in her and comforting her. Praise God. God is good. He is good. Paul said this, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Gain. Who puts that on the gain side of things? Dying is gain. Oh, friends, listen, there's good news in this passage of Scripture. There's good news. People can be comforted, not tormented. There's good news. But there's also that bad news. So what do I do with this? I take the good news first for myself. I make sure that I'm saved. Right? And then what do I want to do? I want to see as many people saved as possible. You know, we're not here in Shetty Camp to see if we can get the biggest church. The biggest one is downtown. Right? I don't expect us to build a building as big as that. But we're here to see people saved. That's the purpose. I mean, even if people come to the church, if we fill the church to the rafters and everybody came, and if all of Shetty Camp came, well, they wouldn't all fit in here. But if they all did come, that wouldn't mean anything if they're not saved. It wouldn't help a bit. We want people to be rescued from hell and won to heaven. And I praise God that he is more than able to accomplish this. He is more than able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. That's okay, guys. I'm okay. We're just finishing up. I did have one passage of Scripture in the book of Revelation. I'm going to read it to you. And this passage of Scripture is at the end of it all. Not under this one, I'm not. It's at the end of it all in Revelation chapter 20. And there we have the final end of things. As I said, this is a temporary holding place where this man was at, because it says this. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. That is, the starry heavens. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell or Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now listen what it says. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God has a book. It's called the book of life.
And it says that there shall be torment. They shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
That's what it says. Day and night forever and ever. Whoever is not found in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. God has a book. Is your name written there? How does my name get written in God's book? By trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. By making sure that he's your personal Savior. Oh, Father, we come in your presence. This is a solemn word, but it's a true one, Lord. And Lord, you have cleared up all the clutter. It doesn't matter how many philosophers come along. Doesn't matter how many naysayers come along. It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ has spoken, and he has revealed to us what happens on the other side. He has shown us that there's a great comfort coming for those who trust in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. But he has also shown us there's great torment for those who do not. And so, Lord, we call We cry out to you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that many would be saved. We pray for our loved ones that they would enter in. We pray, O God, they would flee from the wrath to come. We pray that they would turn to the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Lord, that the way of salvation is open. Lord, that the door may be narrow, but the door is there. And anyone can go through it at any time. As long as there's breath, there's hope. And so, Father, we pray that many would be saved. That's our heart's cry, O God, that people will turn to the Lord. And we pray, O God, that we could be your instruments to point people to Jesus Christ and the wonderful salvation that is there. Oh, Father God, have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord. May we see many, many people here, one to Jesus Christ, so that they may spend eternity in heaven, in the presence of God. Because, Lord, we know what the ultimate destination of all of that is from the Word of God. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One way or the other. God, I thank you. I thank you today. Truth does set people free. And Lord, we're thankful for all the promises of God. An explosion of promises. But we're also thankful for the warnings. Surely, Lord, we wouldn't be so foolish as to think there are no such thing as warnings, that there's no such thing as trouble, that there's no such thing as torment, there's no such thing as deep sorrow and suffering. We're living in it all around us. Some people would make this protest, Lord, that, oh, how could God have a place of torment for people? People are being tormented right here. It's a no-brainer. But Lord, you have done everything that needs to be done to save any soul that is willing to come into Jesus Christ. If anybody's in hell, it won't be God's fault. It'll be their fault. Thank you, Lord, that you have made the way. Now I pray that many will come in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No, I think so.